24 May 1893. Statement by Deputy Abdullah Atam. First of all, I am pleased to hear the argument of reasoning by induction does not apply to Adam and Eve, which means that an exception is allowed to the general rule. First, you state that the body of Christ was in a state of decay. Therefore, it could not atone nor be of any other use. In reply to this, I submit that we do not declare the human body of Christ to be Christ, but rather that whole human part of him that was free from sin and except for sin in all other things was equal to us and mortal. And apart from being human, he was also the manifestation of Allah, that is to say, the place for the manifestation of Allah in humanity to take upon itself the burden of the sins of all, and the second person of Allah, the Son of Allah, enabled that weight to be so carried. And thus compensation for sins being done, the atonement of sins was completed. What then was the need for another physical body to remain eternally? Second, your second objection is that if Christ is God Almighty, then what is the need to call him the manifestation of Allah? Do we call man the manifestation of man? Answer. Why is Christ the man held out to be the likeness of the divinity attached to his person? In a human, the body is actually a separate thing, and the soul is separate, and the life force is a separate thing. Thus, the soul is that thing that possesses the attributes of knowledge and will. The body is that thing which possesses neither knowledge nor will. The life force is that regulating system which provides nourishment through the veins and sinews even to the plants. However, God or the manifestation of Allah is distinct from all such contingencies and exists independently in his own right by himself. Third, in the thinking of the Honorable Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib, the soul of Jesus Christ came from Mary according to the law of nature, and therefore he cannot be God. In reply to this, I submit that although the human soul of Jesus was not born according to the law of nature, nonetheless, it is the same in its nature. And a soul does not derive from another soul, so that it may be said that his soul came by splitting from that of Mary. Since the soul is the very essence of a person and not the name of any law or ordinance, but a thing, the sum total of every attribute and definition of a person, then why do you say that the soul of Jesus Christ came from Mary? Why not say concerning it that a new creation came into being? Apart from this, what does this have to do with divinity? We have repeatedly said that his being a manifestation of Allah is quite apart from his humanity. Fourth, your question is, since God cannot be divided, how can there be three gods, and what distinctions are the basis of this division? In reply, I submit that according to us, the mystery of the Trinity is that on the one hand, it is a form of unity, and on the other hand, it is three. We shall explain this presently. The attribute of incomparability comes from the attribute of endlessness, because only that thing can be absolutely incomparable that erases all possibility of any comparison, and this possibility can only be erased when there remains no space for comparison. In other words, that thing should also be endless, concerning which it can be said that in its antiquity and essence, endlessness and incomparability are one. Since no one can say when incomparability issued forth from endlessness and where it resides, it cannot separate from endlessness. Thus, you can see from this example that one thing similar to endlessness exists in its own right, while another similar to incomparability is inseparable from endlessness. And look very carefully that in both these attributes there exists a premise which, if stated extempore, it would run as follows. Although the two examples look alike in one sense, they are also different in another. As we have given the example of two attributes, so these attributes, instead of being parts of a thing encompass the whole thing. Similarly, the being whom we call God, the Father, and He, like endlessness, exists on His own, and those whom we call the Son and the Holy Ghost, they are inseparable from God, the Father. Now we have shown this distinction among them. We do not say that their essence is divisible. Thus, we cannot be accused of being polytheists, because we believe in God being one without any associate. We do not make three gods. However, we find all three beings or persons of the Trinity equal, each to the other glorified by way of attributes in the Scriptures. And they are one in their essence, but each in its own right, being inseparable from the other, are consequently three. Fifth, you ask me to prove from the Quran that the fire was in actual fact God, or that the voice came from the fire and the voice was heard saying, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." In reply to this, I submit that at the moment, we will not discuss the voice that came from the unseen and which conversed with Moses, but that voice said this, "Surely I am your Lord." Surah Taha, Ruku 1. If your honor says that this voice did not come from the fire, then I can only say that the style of the utterance of these words does not show that it came from anywhere other than the fire. And in Surah Al-Qasas, it is written thus, concerning the same voice that emanated from the fire or the bush, "Indeed, I am the Lord of all the worlds." And the third verse, besides these two verses that your honor has mentioned, the phrase that "I am the Lord of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob" is actually in the Torah. I erroneously attributed this quote to the Quran. This much error you can accept to be mine, that I attributed the words of the Torah to the Quran, but actually there is no difference in "I am your Lord" and "I am the Lord of all the worlds." And that which is written in the Torah, that "I am the Lord of your father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob," nothing less and nothing more. The argument of the manifestation of Allah comes from this, because a visible object cannot be God. Sixth, in reply to your statement that each of the two words, yaktan and yakman, are not found in the Torah, I submit that I made a deduction. In other words, I concluded. If you keep objecting like this, then this would be similar to that person named Muhammad Bakhsh, whom someone confronted by asking, "Why do you not offer prayer?" His reply was, "Where is it written that Muhammad Bakhsh should offer prayer?" Now, this is no argument, but just a joke. Seventh, you refer to these words that Christ our Lord said that you don't declare it blasphemy when your judges and divines are called gods, so why do you accuse me for saying I am the Son of God? Our Lord Christ used to address himself to the Jewish people saying that I am the Son of God. So they were getting ready to stone him, saying that by calling yourself the Son of God, you make yourself equal to God, and this is blasphemy. It is for this reason that we stone you. Our Lord rebutted their assertion by saying that God is the equal of God. If I call myself God, then your divines were also called gods. So in their case, why did you not accuse them of blasphemy? Thus, our Lord silenced them, not denying his divinity, nor giving any proof of it, leaving it as a separate issue in which there is a confession of nothing less nor anything more. Eighth, you state that the praises of Jesus Christ in the Torah are not greater than the other prophets. In reply to this, I submit that all these prophets placed their hope for salvation upon Christ. So how can you say that Christ has not been given greater praise than the other prophets? Apart from Christ, which other prophet has been referred to as an equal of God? See Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. That Jehovah, our righteousness, come, who is about to come, on the throne of David. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5, 6, and 7. That mighty God, everlasting Father, is Prince of Peace, Counselor, Reformer, who will reign on David's throne forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Postscript. The rest which your honor has asked regarding the superiority of the Gospels, please see John chapter 12, verses 48 to 50. The Gospels are the scriptures that will be used for the final judgment of all the peoples, that is to say, of the whole world. The rest, later. Signature, English, Henry Martin Clark, President representing Christians. Signature, English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President representing Muslims.